This week on Vaticano. In Astana, Kazakhstan, the Holy See joins religious leaders from across the globe, renewing the call for dialogue and peace. Then we take you to the EWTN Summer Academy in Rome, where young journalists are being equipped to share the gospel in the digital age. Finally, we journey to Castel Sant'Elia to explore the centuries-old devotion to Saint Michael the Archangel, guardian of Rome and defender of the Church. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. From July the 28th to August the 3rd, Pope Leo experienced his first major engagement with young people as 1 million youth gathered for an international event that highlighted the vitality of the global church. Participants came from all corners of the world, but it was the Korean flags that caught the eye, a nod to the upcoming World Youth Day in Seoul, South Korea, scheduled for 2027. Ahead of the Jubilee of Youth closing mass, Andreas Stonehauser, Vice President and Global Chief Officer of EWTN, spoke with Stephanie, a member of the Seoul World Youth Day Organizing Committee. She shared key advice on what attendees can expect and how to best prepare for this highly anticipated celebration.
For those who are thinking already about coming to Seoul, what will they have to prepare for? What will they have to bring?
Well, I would say, first of all, your faith and your passion for, you know, meeting a very different kind of culture, because after all, Korea is not it's a non-Catholic country, so probably a lot of things that you see are very different from what you see in Europe and definitely in Rome. So an openness and to open up to something new and something practical is, you know, maybe bring an umbrella to keep you off from the heat.
Okay, so bring your umbrella. Can you tell me a bit more, what are the differences? What do need people to prepare for? Can you describe this a bit?
First of all, because Korea only has around 10% of Catholics, so it's not like in Rome that you'll meet churches every corner of the street. It's that you're not going to meet a lot of Catholics on the street, of course. You're not going to meet a Catholic randomly. It's impossible. People might stare at you if you shout Alleluia on the street. So it's kind of a very different atmosphere in the streets of Korea. So I would say be prepared for that, but also be open to everything you knew that you might see.
How will locals receive the people?
I think two ways, because people would probably stare them amazed with all the international young people from all around the world. And some might be a little bit timid because they might need to talk in the foreign languages. But this is a very challenging question of how they might be received. Because, I mean, this kind of event has never happened in Seoul before. So even for me, it's quite unimaginable.
Yeah. So a lot of surprises, probably. Is there anything you would recommend that pilgrims do not do when they come to Seoul?
Not to shout too much during the night and try to contain your wish to sing and shout after 12, maybe.
So people appreciate their sleep.
Yes, because Seoul is a very crowded city where a lot of people live. So it's not like Rome or other European cities that you might, you know, sing and shout freely in the streets without disturbing a lot of people, but it's not going to happen in Seoul because, you know, as I said before, it's crowded. A lot of people live in Seoul, so, you know, the shouting would be a little bit different, would be perceived a little bit differently in Seoul.
I see. And what would you say, what will be the impact of the World Youth Day on Korea and on the church in Korea?
For me, I see it positively, actually, because, as I said before, not a lot of this kind of international events happen in Seoul. And so I think for Korea, it's also a new experience to experience all the international culture, international vibe, to help them see how people from different cultures will act and even interact with them. So I think for Korea, this is a very good chance to experience, you know, globally.
Very well. Anything else that people can do to prepare themselves?
Learn one or two Korean phrases to say.
Can you teach me one?
안녕하세요. It means.
안녕하세요.
안녕하세요. It means hi.
It means hi. 안녕하세요.
안녕하세요.
Okay, so this is something that really needs preparation. Maybe we can do it together into the camera.
안녕하세요.
In just a moment, from the joy of World Youth Day to the call for dialogue and peace in Kazakhstan, the Vatican's interreligious mission, next on Vaticano. Of World and Traditional Religions in Astana, Kazakhstan, placed the message of peace at its heart, symbolized by the inauguration of the city's new Park of Peace. More than 100 delegations from 60 countries gathered under the theme Dialogue of Religions, Synergy for the Future. Kazakhstan's president, Kasym Jomart Tokayev, set the tone with a silent prayer for peace and a warning against rising global tensions, urging dialogue based on shared human values. Pope Leo XIV sent a message of support, quoting Nostra Aetate from the Second Vatican Council, affirming the Church's respect for all that is true and holy in other religions. His words were delivered by Cardinal George Kovacad, newly appointed prefect of the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, who led the Catholic delegation.
I feel that it much needed this event, because we, after the pandemic, we thought of a peaceful and calm life, but the things did not turn up like that.
That sense of urgency was echoed by one of the organizers, Ambassador Bulat Sarsenbayev.
This year's theme is Synergy for the Future. Joint efforts are needed, synergy is needed, to address the questions and challenges we face today.
And this year, one new theme entered the spotlight, artificial intelligence.
We must be different from artificial intelligence, through spirituality. The role of world religions is very important here. They carry this spirituality. They must be beacons for their flock and for believers.
The two-day Congress featured plenary sessions, roundtables, and a youth forum. Topics ranged from peace building and extremism to climate change and sustainable development. For the first time, the Muslim World League joined the gathering.
We are happy that we have at this Congress the leader of the Muslim World League, Dr. Al Issa. He came to Kazakhstan for the first time. We also are happy to see Patriarch Kirill from Russia. We're happy to get his contributions to the Congress.
Patriarch Kirill of the Russian Orthodox Church declared, "A world that denies God is a world without a future." He made no reference to Ukraine, and no Ukrainian delegation was present. Beyond the public sessions, private meetings allowed for quiet diplomacy. Cardinal Kovacad met with Patriarch Kirill and Catholicos Aram I, of the Armenian Catholic Church.
Well, that was very, very touching and interesting for me. And we had a moment of very fraternal exchange of ideas and to share the common concerns, because all are worried about how the things are going in the world.
The Catholic delegation also brought fresh perspectives. For the first time, the Pope's pediatric hospital, Bambin Jesus, took the stage. Its president, Tiziano Onesti, called for a charter of principles for the holistic care of incurable children. During the visit, Bambin Jesus also expanded cooperation with Kazakhstan's University Medical Center, signing a letter of intent for joint work in epilepsy, autism, pediatric transplants, and oncology.
We can collaborate on issues of common interest, sharing experiences, therapies, and research, always with the goal of helping children live better lives.
Other delegates reminded that dialogue must lead to action.
When we speak about peace, we also need to show that we are not hypocritical, but that we are serious when we talk about peace.
If we want to dialogue, we have to walk toward the others, so to open and to be flexible in this relation.
If leaders from different religions can sit in the same room, well, maybe people in the same town can sit in the same room of different religions. So I do have hope, yes.
The Catholic Church in Kazakhstan represents only about 1% of the population, yet its role is significant, says Archbishop Tomasz Peta of Astana.
I think that by seeing and hearing Catholics, many can realize that the Catholic Church is something special and that it stands out among the many religious traditions.
The Congress also gave space to the younger generation. At the second youth forum, young participants reflected on peace and dialogue.
I don't think we are raising boundaries. On the contrary, we are becoming aware of our own value and the value of other people around us.
Amid the calls for action, Orthodox Bishop Gennady reminded participants that dialogue must remain rooted in the spiritual dimension of human life.
We see that we share certain common values, the most important of which is to draw the world's attention to the existence of spiritual life and spiritual foundations.
The Congress concluded with the Astana Declaration of Peace 2025, condemning extremism, affirming the dignity of all religions, and calling for the protection of families and children. Cardinal Kovacad read the declaration on behalf of the assembly.
We, the people who are believing in God, are the majority in the world. But either we are silent or we are divided. So it is important that we come together. So I was happy in that. I felt it as an honor to give voice to that declaration.
Video shooting, editing, praying, listening, inspiring. Under the dome of St. Peter's, this is where the EWTN Summer Academy takes place. Students from all over the world gather for 10 days of formation and inspiration. They've come to deepen their faith and hone their skills to carry the eternal word into the digital age.
The idea of the Summer Academy is really to raise the next generation of Catholic journalists. In a world where media can reach millions or billions of people, it's super important to have highly trained, highly skilled people who want to engage in reporting the truth, but also in promoting the eternal word, which is Jesus Christ.
What began 4 years ago in the modest basement of EWTN's guest house in Rome has grown into a global training ground for Catholic communicators. The method is to teach media skills and apply them immediately in service of the gospel.
5 years ago, we started to reflect how we can help young people, young professionals, but also EWTN affiliates to grow in their profession, in filmmaking, but also in journalism. And EWTN Summer Academy is an answer to that vision. For over 10 days, we have 50 participants from all over the world that are coming here and they're learning this craft of journalism and Catholic filmmaking.
Anthony Johnson is the program director who brings together journalism, video production, theological and philosophical lectures, as well as art and history in an intensive program, which also fosters networking and lifelong friendships.
We have three basic principles here at the EWTN Summer Academy: theory, practice, and then a mix of theology and philosophy as it pertains to communications. Because we can all produce great work, but ultimately we need to have a strong foundation that's rooted in Christ.
Hosted at the International Center for Missionary Animation, the Academy combines formation with daily Holy Mass, confession, adoration, and spiritual direction.
It's been wonderful. It's been very inspiring, and the talks has been very well and very informative. And coming from a non-media background, this has been the best place to learn and to grow in the understanding. So it's been wonderful.
Learning from real journalists, not just content creators, I've found extremely helpful. Especially when you're put on the spot, there's a lot of skills in the interviewing mindset. When you're having tough conversations with people.
The Lebanese twins, Charbel and Giovanni Latif, run the Eastern Christians social media platform and reach hundreds of thousands of young people.
Today we're here in the Jubilee of Youth, and we're with the Egyptian community.
I really loved how we're all a family, and it's been like barely 3 days. And especially just seeing Catholics from all over the world, all kinds of nationalities and races, it really just shows us how beautiful our church is and how it's in every part of the world.
This year, also, the Holy Father made sure to welcome the participants during the general audience.
I greet the EWTN Summer Academy.
Next year marks the 5th anniversary of the EWTN Summer Academy.
EWTN Summer Academy 2026 admissions are open now. See you here next year in Rome.
It was St. Thomas Aquinas who said that if you really want to show your love for people, you need to lead them from error to truth. And this is all what the Summer Academy is really about, is equipping people to promote the truth, but also leading others from error to truth.
In a few moments, we'll take you to a centuries-old sanctuary dedicated to St. Michael the Archangel. Stay with us here on Vaticano. In the hilltop town of Castel Sant'Elia, north of Rome, preparations are underway for the feast of St. Michael the Archangel. At the heart of the celebration is the small church dedicated to him, part of the sanctuary of Our Lady Ad Rupes.
We are currently preparing for the feast of St. Michael the Archangel. As every year, we are holding a novena in honor of our patron saint from September 20th to September 28th, culminating in the main celebration on September 29th. We celebrate with the faithful of our town, but also with many people from surrounding areas.
Devotion to St. Michael here goes back to the 5th or 6th century, tied to a vision of St. Anastasius and the enduring Marian devotion at this sanctuary.
During this period, the Mother of God made her presence felt very strongly here, but it was also here in Castel Sant'Elia that Saint Anastasius had a vision of Saint Michael the Archangel, right here.
To commemorate the vision, a small church dedicated to Saint Michael was built on the site. This church forms part of the larger sanctuary of Our Lady Ad Rupes, Our Lady of the Rock, whose image has been venerated in a cave shrine beneath the sanctuary for more than 1,500 years, a sacred space reached by a steep stone staircase.
According to tradition and faith, wherever the Mother of God finds her place, Saint Michael the Archangel is also nearby, defending that spot.
A powerful testament to this faith is the enduring devotion to St. Michael in the town's beautiful 11th century Basilica of St. Elias, situated just below the sanctuary.
Inside, we have frescoes on the walls which depict the revelation of the Holy Archangel from the early 6th century.
In these frescoes, St. Michael appears to the town's patron saints, Anastasius and Eusebius, pointing his finger towards the sky and calling out, Anastasio, veni, an invitation to live a life worthy of eternal reward.
From Castel Sant'Elia, devotion to St. Michael reaches all the way to Rome. It's no coincidence that St. Michael watches over us from the top of Castel Sant'Angelo, keeping vigil and protecting the people of the Eternal City. As leader of the heavenly armies, St. Michael is depicted with a sword and revered as defender of the faithful and of sacred places. His Hebrew name means "who is like God," a reminder of God's greatness and Michael's humble service.
Accade un episodio incredibile nel 590.
In 590, an incredible event took place right here on this bridge. Rome was experiencing a devastating plague that had come from Egypt and claimed an illustrious victim, the Pope himself, Pelagius II.
Il nuovo Papa, Papa Gregorio Magno,
the new Pope, Gregory the Great, decided to organize a litany of prayers. He took the icon of the Salus Populi Romani, which is the icon of the salvation of the Roman people.
Che è l'icona della salvezza del popolo romano, in quel momento...
At that moment, Pope Gregory the Great noticed St. Michael at the top of the castle, cleaning his sword and sheathing it, which means that the plague was over.
Che la peste era finita.
In his honor, the fortress was renamed Castel Sant'Angelo, with a statue of Michael sheathing his sword placed on top. Since then, he has been venerated as Rome's protector, especially in times of crisis. That protection extends into the life of the Vatican today. St. Michael is the patron of the Gendarmerie, guardian of the Pope and the Vatican.